Appreciate it. You guys notice we missing a couple chess pieces up here. The Dudleys are on a well-deserved vacation. I'm really glad they got a chance to kind of get away. So Becca and Evan, I just appreciate you guys taking over, and it sounded great. I tell you, I was thinking there, and Les and I were talking, you know, just what a blessing it is that you know, we can, can just meet here together and worship God so openly and with everything just this week, you know, is this heart still kind of heavy because, I mean, we've lost some people overseas, right? There's things going on in Afghanistan, but here we are. I mean, we're blessed that we can be here and just come without any kind of fear of, any kind of retribution. I mean, the only thing we got to worry about is, you know, maybe not getting in front of the line for lunch at the buffet or whatever, but we're just blessed. So before you start, I would want to just pray for the families of all of our those we've lost this week in just the continued conflict going on in Afghanistan. Not just for the Americans, but also for those that live there, the Christians that live there, and the persecution, everything that takes place. So just do one move here real quick, we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are God. And with all the evil and everything that takes place in this world, you are still God. Jesus is still on the throne. So, Father, we just come to you. We pray for all those directly affected by the loss of life for our behalf this week. We pray that you will be glorified. We pray for those that are still in harm's way. Father, whether they're citizens of that country or they're our soldiers who are over there, we just pray for all of them. Ask you to keep them safe. And Father, but I just still pray that you would be glorified in the middle of everything. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week we are continuing. This is part two of Take Up Your Cross. We talked about that last week. We kind of led into there a little bit. There were several points we looked at. But I left off, didn't finish up last week, which y'all know, as I said, not because I ran out of wind. I can certainly talk all day long. Melissa will give an amen for that one. But it was really more because I wanted you guys to really just think deeply about what we said last week, about what it meant to take up your cross and follow Christ. That's what we're called to do. That was what Christ instructed us to do. And today we're going to finish up that thought and look more at what does that mean and how do we do that. So if you have your Bibles open, or if you don't, if you stand with me, we're in Mark chapter 8. I'm going to go ahead and read all the way through. We covered the first part, but I'm going to read the whole thing so we can just get a concept of everything Christ was saying there. So Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 34. We're going to go through verse 38. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for this precious word. I thank you, Father, that you allow us to come here and just look at your word and understand what this means. So today, Father, I pray that you'll help me step out of the way. We'll simply hear your word, not for our education, Father, but for our transformation. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. All right, so there we left off last week talking about what did Jesus mean when he talked about give us the instruction to carry our cross and follow him. Now, when we left off there, though, a couple of different points that we followed, as we saw there, had the main points. I filled them in there for your on your notes. But we also said that one of the things that a Christian must know, so how we kind of framed it in there, is as we try to understand what does this mean to take up our cross and follow Christ, there are certain things that every Christian must know in order to be able to do that. And one of the things we said is you must know Jesus' identity. Jesus went through, he sort of backed up a little bit, and he asked the disciples, who does everybody say I am, and then who do you say I am? And we talked about the value of this. We need to know who Jesus is. He is the Christ. And by saying he is the Christ, well, what does that mean, being the Christ? But you need to understand his identity of who he is if you're going to follow him and take up your cross and do as instructed. We also need to understand, we need to understand the difference between what is temporal or temporary in the flesh and what is eternal. We need to understand that we live this life. There are some things that are temporal, things that we see and experience in this life, and there's some things that will that are also eternal beyond this life. Well, and then we left to, we need to understand what we're being asked to do. And what we're being asked to do, what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to follow Jesus is what we bring up to in verse 34. So read that again. Verse 34 says, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And while Jesus, after this, he gave some explanatory notes. As we're going to look at today, the following verses after he made this statement, of course, it's a huge statement. We know how much it means to us as Christians that we take up our cross and follow Christ. But, Melissa and I are parents of five kids. Now, if you're parents of any children or have watched children any length of time, but particularly if it's one like Parker, one of the twins, the six-year-old, he has this abundance of questions, right? He's like never-ending questions. In fact, I saw this meme not too long ago. I thought it was perfect. It was this image of Yoda. You know, he's like on the planet of Dagobah where he was at. So Yoda was dying, and the caption was, anybody with who has children understand why Yoda got so tired of answering questions, he just laid down and died, right? So, and I was thinking about it, particularly Parker. He just, when I have to actually tell Parker sometimes, like, okay, you have one more question for the day. Like, use it wisely, because it's just, I cannot keep answering these questions. But he's just curiosity. What I don't want to do with any of the kids, you don't want to just say, well, because I said so, right? You want to, I mean, it's good to have this curiosity, and good that they have these questions. So I'm thankful here when I read this that Jesus didn't just stop there and say, give us verse 34. He went ahead and said, I want to tell you why this is true. He answered these questions for us. He wants us to understand why that statement is true, and that's what he does in the following verses. Each one of the verses, particularly if you have ESV, is going to start with the word for. So these are these explanatory conjunctions that we have explaining to us why verse 34 is true. So we get the first one we see there in verse 35. In verse 35, we'll say this. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And what this sort of tells us is the next thing we need to know is that you must know what is eternal or what has eternal value. You must know what has eternal value. Everything in life has value. We value different things in different ways. But as Christians, we have to know what has eternal value. And it sort of goes parallel, of course, with knowing the difference between what is temporal and what is eternal. But this is talking about how we value things, how we give importance to different things. We must know what has eternal value. Now, when we understand, as we noted, that life is temporal, And you sort of set out to save, back up a little bit. So as we already point out, the life is temporal, and you set out to live this life. We as Christians, we know there's two parts of life. Again, we know there's the temporal, that's the part we live now, and then there's the eternal, the part that comes next. We are ultimately faced that we have to make this decision. When we have all these different things that we decide to place our value in, or what we pursue in life. Ultimately, we want to pursue what is good and makes us happy. But certainly, that is going to cause us eventually to have to make this decision, which one do we pursue as having more value, the things that are eternal or the things that are temporal. And so we have this thing that we run up against as Christians is that we can't just simply live for the now. Right now, there's a temptation just to live for the now, but we understand we can't do that. We understand like everything has this eternal value to it, or ultimately does not. So this is what Christ is talking about here, is that when he tells us that whoever would save his life, meaning here, and he sort of gives us a little play on the word life. And when he talks about this life, of course, he's bringing to light the difference between what is life in the present and what is life eternal. And what he's telling us is whoever would save his life here will ultimately lose it. Now, how is that true? I mean, what is that? How does that even make sense to us? That, I see my notes didn't come up. That's okay. So whoever would live this life here will ultimately lose his life. So we understand, like, there's things that we can decide to pursue here in this life. And you may have a wonderful, successful life. Maybe so you get the job, or you get that relationship, or you get the car or the house. And in fact, you can get all these things in this life and be totally successful. But we understand, since there is eternal life, is that no matter how successful you are in this life, this is one day going to come to an end. You don't have to be a Christian to know that one day this life is going to come to an end. And as Christians, we're saying there's something beyond this, and we want to pursue whatever is beyond this. And that's what Jesus is bringing into mind here. So as we try to say we take up our cross daily and follow Christ, that's ultimately what we're looking at, is understanding, like, we may have the best life in this life, and ultimately we'll lose in the end because we have nothing of eternal value. So for eternity, we spend in hell, separated from God. Well, that's not a win at all, is it? And that's exactly what this is talking about. So that's why I say we have to understand what has eternal value. Because it is, you know, you sort of think that, well, whatever I put into will directly affect what comes out of this life. And the fact is, it's not true. You put all of your effort into this life and yet still come up short in the end, and spend eternity away from, separated from God. So we have to understand the difference between what's eternal value and what's temporal value. Now, I'm not saying that we don't ever pursue anything in this life that brings us joy, right? That's not what I'm saying. I mean, there's things. I mean, you can you know, buy the boat or the car or the house. I mean, whatever. Or, you know, you do the things we want to have this successful and happy life here. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, if you sort of take the sum of all of the things that you pursue in life, and you look at those things, you have to understand, okay, which one of these things are actually, when I look at all of the things that I pursue in life, does it indicate that my life is for, is ultimately to live for myself or to live for God? And that's what this is talking about. That is just simply saying, like, look, you're the things that you have, that what your life stands for should be to ultimately to live for God, for Him. And that's kind of what we're left with. So we understand, as Christians, we have to make this decision. We have to be able to step away, and this is what I'm encouraging you, maybe even right now, you can say, in my mind, I can step away from everything I do, everything, all my pursuits in life. Does this honor God, or does this honor myself? We talked about before, like, you can just even say, you know, how I spend my resources, meaning my time, or my financial resources, or my talents and gifts, like when I sort of take those things and apply them to something, is it ultimately for my own benefit, or is it before the benefit of the kingdom? Do we understand that there is a difference in the value there? So I think when you see this, it says whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. I think that difference there is sort of a caveat. It's saying those who will live for the sake of Christ and the gospel ultimately will save your life. So it's telling you, well, here's sort of what you should put up as the most important part of your life, what your life goal is, I mean, your pursuit of happiness, is to live for Christ and the gospel. Of course, when we live for Christ, that means that Christ is, whenever you, in Romans, whenever I witness to somebody, I'll say, well, you know, if you believe Jesus is God, or if you be Jesus is the Lord, and that's when you say Lord, that means He's my Lord, right? So that's what it means. So if you, whoever should lose his life for my sake, meaning Christ, then that's, there's a pursuit there. So you're not just simply denying yourself. I mean, anybody can deny themselves, but you're denying yourself for the sake of Christ and for the gospel. There's actually a lot of different ways that we could do this, and we sort of determine, like, what is most valuable and what's worldly and earthly. I mean, we can just it could just be like when you have a stance for what you believe or what you follow. You know, some of the things are pretty obvious as a Christians. When you sort of set yourself up between how I stand and what I if I want to be accepted, I want to be good, I want to be kind of accepted in a group or whatever. Some of the things are pretty obvious because the Bible tells us what we should believe. When you have issues like abortion, Well, the Bible tells you what you should believe about that. It's difficult. It's absolutely difficult, but the Bible tells you what you should believe about that. A couple other issues that are we see right now are, you know, same-sex marriage or gender identity. Well, again, the Bible tells you what you should believe about that. But you have a decision on where do I stand when it gets tough. And I don't even mean just where do I stand in terms of being this legalistic, like, no, you're wrong, I'm right, because the Bible says so. I mean, the Bible does tell us what to believe, but see, this also says for the sake of the gospel. See, it's not enough as Christians that we want to just simply be true, because there's some Christians that will just pound truth into people, amen? They will sort of stand and say, I'm true, and I'm just going to beat this into you. It also says for the gospel, see, we're representatives of God. So we're, even as Christians, we're not to just live and say, well, I know the truth because this is what it says, and I'm just going to beat you down or humiliate you or whatever because I know the truth. No, we're supposed to love people the way God loves them. Amen? So when we talk about, when we talk about it, was this telling us, and Jesus is saying, take up your cross and follow him. Now, think about that for a second. He went to the cross and was willing to die for sinners. That's a pretty ultimate love. Amen? So that's what this is saying. So this pulls in our willingness to not only know the truth, but we also have to be willing to stand in the truth, even when it's difficult, even when it's not popular, but also to stand in the truth in situations where people may be coming at us, maybe in an angry way, or maybe how whatever it is, but we still love them. The people that maybe you would be tempted to call your enemy, maybe in the conversation to your enemy, we know the real enemy is who? It's the devil. That's our enemy. So we can live this life for ourselves, meaning just we want these worldly things. We want this worldly kind of happiness. But I think also as Christians, we can live our life for ourselves is that we just convince ourselves that we're like a number one Christian and not never actually advance the gospel because people just don't want to be around us because they're so horrible people. But that's what this says. We take up our cross daily and follow him. So one of the reasons why that is true is because of this, that whosoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever would lose his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Well, next we see verse 36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? It really kind of goes along with that same point about knowing the eternal, the difference where knowing what has eternal value. So we have this ability, it is possible for us, even as Christians, if we say use that term loosely, we're living as Christians, to live our entire lives for ourselves, pleasing ourselves, doing what's best for ourselves, and ultimately lose out on eternity, lose that eternal gift that we are offered. Well, 36 makes a logical argument about that. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? It's calling us to understand that eternal value. Is it really that valuable? Maybe you live a life and you definitely get everything you sought out in this life. You were absolutely successful. You got the relationship, the car, the house, like the whatever. You got the job. Is it really worth that to you? If you think about it in terms of is eternal perspective, is it really that valuable to have everything you get in this life and then lose out on eternity? That to have this spend eternity separated from God. I mean, so in this life, you live however many years, like maybe up to 80 years or 90 or 100. I mean, I don't know, whatever. Maybe your life is shortened like so many different lives are. But whatever it is, however long you're on this world and this life, is it really that important to you to pursue happiness here for the sake of eternity? That's literally what that is saying to us. Ultimately, we are deciding what we think is more valuable. Ultimately, whether you're doing it consciously or not, you're deciding what am I living for? Are you living for just enjoyment and satisfaction in this life? Now, again, that's probably not sometimes okay, but are you doing it forsaking and make a decision to pursue happiness in this life and not in the future? Notice the difference in focus here between 35 back up a little bit. For whoever should save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for the sake of for my sake and the gospel's will save it. See, the first part of 35 is talking about that focuses on ourselves, right? Whoever would save his life. So the focus of your enjoyment and satisfaction is you. But when it flips this around and gives a logical argument 36, the focus is Christ. So this is what I'm asking, this is we try to belabor this first point, but I'm just saying, like, at some point we're called to, and I'm telling you this morning, to stop and say, what is your main focus in life? Is your main focus yourself, or is your main focus Christ and what he would have you do? So there was that next point. Know the difference. Know what is has eternal value. I think the following point is that, you know what is at stake. Know what is at stake. See this in verse 38. Verse 38 says this, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." See, we think that, you know, we just have these decisions and we sort of pursue happiness, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there is actually something at stake. I mean, we said this earlier, but I mean, it's worth, you know, this is kind of what it brings us to as we sort of come to close, and as Jesus is wrapping up his point there, is saying, look, if you're going to live this life ashamed of me and my gospel, eventually we're all going to be judged. And he says, if that's your choice. You can live this life ashamed of me and my word, the gospel, but ultimately I'm going to be ashamed of you when we're all stand before judgment. That doesn't get into this, but I mean, particularly here, this sort of makes this assumption we understand, but the Bible talks about this day we all will be judged. Whether you're here this morning, you're a Christian, or whether you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, the Bible says everyone will be judged. Everyone will go before the judgment throne at the end, and it'll say, like, okay, why should you be left in heaven, basically, or why should you be allowed in heaven, basically, and the only thing we can say is, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, or he's not. But this morning and through this life, you have this opportunity to say, look, I just really want to live for myself, make myself happy or whatever, you know, have my own kind of enjoyment. And God will let you do that. But there is a price to doing that. So in this life, you can pursue happiness. No problem. You can do that. But there's a cost. And the cost is eternity. Now, maybe this morning you'll say, well, you know, I have no problem saying who God is. I have no problem saying who Jesus is. I'm going to openly admit who Jesus is. You guys remember, there was a time before I talked about this friend of mine at work, and he came up to me, and I don't know how that conversation started, I can't remember, it was a really, really long time ago, but he told me, he says, well, yeah, I definitely believe Jesus died on the cross, I believe who God is, I'm just waiting for God to give me a sign, and then I'm going to start, you know, serving him. Of course, I told him, I was like, what is that sign going to look like? I mean, Jesus died on the cross. There's your sign, right? So I don't understand what sign he was looking for. But, you know, really what he meant was, I'm not done living for myself yet. That's really what that meant. Amen? So wherever you're at here this morning and wherever your relationship is with God, I'm just saying, like, in your mind, somehow you are making a decision what you're living for. Now, maybe this morning you're saying, look, I'm not done living for myself yet. And okay, God's going to let you do that. He is that much of a gentleman. He's going to make sure that you can make your decision. But that decision comes at a price. There's a cost to that. What I'm saying this morning is you're not going to get any better sign. Amen? Jesus died on the cross so you can have a relationship with God. You are never going to get a better sign than that. So stop looking. You've got your sign. Now it's ultimately just left for you making your decision. But there will come a day where Jesus is going to say, well, do you belong to him or do you not belong to him? It says, you know, and of course it says to be ashamed. I mean, when you think about where it says where you're being ashamed as a Christian, are there times where it's tough to sort of stand there and not be ashamed of Christ or his word? There absolutely is. And it is, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be times where, like, the whole room does not believe what the Bible says, but you as a Christian have to make a decision. Am I going to stand here and say, yes, I believe this is the truth. Yes, I believe what the Bible says here. I don't really know why it says this, but I believe that's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to stand on. There's going to be times. I mean, maybe not every single day, but I'm telling you, if you're living as a Christian, ultimately, you know, sometime in your life or different points in your life, you're going to be faced with that decision. You get a whole room of people, maybe surrounded by people, who do not believe the same thing you believe, but you're going to have to say, look, I can't explain why this is a truth, but I believe this is God's word, and here's what it says, so this is where I'm standing, this is what I believe. Or maybe just to say I'm a Christian. So when you say you're a Christian, maybe not often you get in the conversation to this level, but sometimes I have. What does it mean when you're a Christian? What does that actually mean? Well, it means that you believe Jesus is God's son. You believe that he was born on this earth, God, you know, indwelled man, his name is Jesus, and he lived on this earth, and he actually went to the cross and physically died. And you believe that 3 days later, he came out of the tomb alive. And by doing that, you have forgiveness of your sins. If you put your faith in who Jesus is and you commit yourself to Christ, you can have forgiveness of your sins. You can spend life in eternity. Now, I'm going to tell you, I understand to someone who's not thinking about this in a spiritual manner, that is just a crazy story, right? It seems insane to somebody who's just looking at this not from the spiritual perspective. I understand that. But that's what we believe. I believe that God created everything from nothing in 6 actual days. Why? Because the Bible says it does. Right? When I read the Bible, that's what it says. Can I even fathom how that could be possible? No, I can't fathom how that could be possible. There's a lot of things I don't know, but my ignorance doesn't make it wrong, right? So I'm just saying, like, that when you really stand there and say, look, I'm really a Christian, and I'm really going to know what this Bible says, and I'm really going to tell the world I believe what this Bible says, I'm telling you, there's going to be times it's kind of tough. Because if anybody who is a non-believer reads this Bible, they can ask you some questions that it's going to put you in the corner, make you kind of, okay, what am I going to say now? This is kind of hard. But that's what this means. I think it means just like either you're in or you're out. It's so easy for us in this country, in our culture, to sort of sit on the fence. Or to maybe live on the other side of the fence and just holler to this Christian side, just kind of get your voice be heard. What Jesus is saying is like, look, you might fool yourself, you might fool everybody around you, but I'm just telling you, I'm telling you as a Christian, what I'm saying you need to do is be willing to pick up your cross daily and follow me. That's what Jesus says. You may be able to fool the world on whether or not you're doing that, but you're not fooling God. And one of these days, as verse 38 tells us, one of these days, it's going to be this reckoning. It's going to come to account. Did you actually live that way? It doesn't matter who all you fool in this life, and I'm talking about not just here if you're not Christians. I'm talking about you're here and you're a Christian. It's saying, like, one of these days, this is going to come to account. You're not, and your decisions are going to ultimately determine your eternity. So this is what we're left with here. The whole focus here, as we're looking at, is that we're called to daily be willing to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Christ. And these things what that means to do that, because it's maybe it's simple to say, well, this is what we should do, but to really understand what it means to do that's really what you're called to do as Christians. This morning, as we take communion once a month. This morning we're going to take communion. We always have a song before we do communion for this reason. So you can just, think about, where am I at with God? How is my relationship right now? I'm not saying because you've sinned, you just, okay, now I'm no longer a Christian. It doesn't work that way, right? But I'm just saying, these 2 weeks really talk about how are you living your life. And there's another, maybe it's just appropriate that we finish off this Sunday with this, because taking communion, we're reflecting the sacrifice that Christ made. We're remembering the sacrifice that Christ made. But in order to do that, shouldn't we stop for a moment and think, how am I living my life? Am I really living my life for God and for the gospel? Or am I living my life just for my own sake, my own personal gratification and pleasure? That's what I hope that you'll do. As we sing this last song and you just you just, if you want to come up and pray, that's fine. You'll pray with me, that's fine. But I just, you'll take a moment and just think, like, who am I actually living for? Who have I been living for? I'm gonna take this communion remembering about Jesus who died on the cross so I can have a relationship with God. Does my life reflect that appreciation for that sacrifice? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, I don't know God at all. Maybe I'll have some more questions. I don't know, you know, if I did die today and hey, what if, you know, who do you live for? And I'm not sure I would have any kind of answer for God. Maybe you in your mind, you know you're not a Christian. I'm just saying, like, this is open to you. I mean, what we're called to do as Christians, yeah, it's sometimes hard, but man, it's just, there is eternal value to everything you do as a Christian. All your decisions, the life that you live, even though it's difficult in the moment, you know you have this promise of eternity in peace and love in the presence of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you again this morning for just for your word. So we just kind of have thought these last couple weeks about what it means to be willing to take up a cross and follow Christ. Father, I pray that these aren't just simple words that we recite, some sort of prepackaged phrase. But rather, we understand that it is a request and a command from our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this morning everyone will just think deeply about what it means to live for Christ, not just to make the decision to say I'm a Christian or I want to go to heaven. I mean, that's definitely where it starts, Father. Before, I just pray that all of us will understand what does this actually mean to live for Christ every day. Father, if there's anyone here that maybe is struggling, maybe they've never made that decision before, maybe they have made the decision, but they're just struggling to live up to that commitment. I just pray for them this morning, Father. And just reach their heart and speak to them and let them know that you'll never stop loving them. And you're ready for them. There's no other sign, Father, that the sign's already been made, that they have an open invitation to live for you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with me, please.